If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, we are going to talk about some of the jurisprudential laws on, wudu or anything related to that dimension. Well, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, of course. Sheikh Javid, in doing the wudu by immersion, is it
somehow permissible to submerge the face and the hands, of course, into the water more than 2 times?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that just as we can perform like ghusl by way of immersion, we can also make wudu by way of immersing our face and our hands underwater in a quick succession. Like, for example, you just do it at once without doing it slowly. You just submerge your face underwater, and that's considered as one wash. That's permissible. There are many people who think that, okay, wudu irtimasi is not okay, it's not in order, and of course one should wash his face in the very usual manner.
Mm.
That's not the case, okay? If you are in a hurry, you want to put your face into water, submerge it, it's okay. You can do it once or twice, but of course you cannot do it for 3 times, because we do know that washing your face and hands for 3 times is forbidden. Now, the same is the case with washing your arms, immersing your arms underwater and making wudu by way of immersion. There is absolutely no problem.
Mm-hmm, I see. Shertovid, you know that, and you also referred to it in some of the previous episodes, oil, for example, can prevent the water from reaching the skin, especially when you're about to make wudu or ghusl. So it needs to be removed first, right? And then dealt with the wudu or the ghusl. Here, we are talking about, my question is regarding those people who have some kind of hyperactive, for example, oily glands.
You're right.
All right, or secretions on their skins, and they usually make more secretions than the normal human beings. Is that considered a kind of barrier for wudu?
Of course, it's not considered a kind of barrier, and I've seen no religious authorities considering it as a kind of barrier, because if that's to be considered a barrier, then of course it will create a problem. It's a kind of problem which is not bearable, and commonly it's not, it cannot be tolerated, because you will face many problems while performing ghusl, the major ablution, while making wudu. You will consider thinking of how to remove it, how to get rid of that secretion, and that's not possible. That will make it a kind of create obsession for you.
Yes.
And that's why the Islamic Sharia does not consider it as a barrier. When it comes to applying oil, that's something else. Of course, that should be removed, because it definitely creates a kind of a barrier.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, thank you very much, Shertovid. Let's take a short break. And we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jahad, hosting this program, and Shertovid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei around wudu. Shertovid, stuff or ointment or oil or whatever may actually cause some kind of a barrier or be considered as kind of barrier for, you know, the wudu actually to be actualized. But my question is regarding the nail polish or fake nails that some women, in fact, are wearing. Are they considered as barriers, you know, to make wudu? How are they supposed to make wudu with them on?
Okay. That's one of the most frequently asked questions, as far as I know, because a lot of people ask, a lot of ladies ask as to whether it's permissible for them to wear nail polish. Of course, wearing nail polish is permissible per se. Ladies who are in their menses, ladies who, for example, who are experiencing childbirth bleeding, since they do not perform prayers and they are not required, and of course it's not permissible for them to pray, so they can wear the nail polish, fake nails, or the nail polish, the nail polish. But when, of course, they are supposed to perform ghusl or made to make wudu, the nail polish must be removed. And of course, sometimes it becomes very difficult for a lady to remove the nail polish because it's time consuming to remove the nail polish. Sometimes it's not even possible for a woman to make sure that there's no substance left on their nails, okay? They, for example, they remove the nail polish thinking that they have removed it, but after completing their prayers and maybe after a few hours, they look at their nails and see some black dots, some, you know, some tiny particles still left on their nails. So again, they have to remove it and then they have to repeat their prayers. And this happens many times to for ladies, for, you know, for women and girls. So also, you know, when it comes to different nail types of nail polish, again, this is another important question, which, you know, which is asked very much frequently by ladies. The nail polish could be of different types. Some of them are water permeable. Some of them are water friendly. You know, they say, they call it. And these nail polish, you know, types of nail polish which are available on the market, they cannot, you know, they will not allow, even if they are called water permeable, they do not allow water to go to reach the nail plates. Because where they, I wonder, where the nail polish stands when you, when a woman makes wuzu. So it is, you know, it is somewhere on the nails. So it will prevent water from reaching the nails. Therefore, you never become certain that the water, that water reaches your nails. Okay, in order to make sure that water reaches the nails, it is definitely necessary to remove the nail polish, no matter what the name or what the brand or whatever the type of the nail polish, because you will not be certain in the existence of nail polish on your nails.
Quite similar to the question that I asked you around or about the nail polish and what they do, they have to remove it, as you said, right?
Yes.
Before making wudu. What about the eyelash extension? Some women also are wearing some extensions to their lashes, you know? Should they remove it?
Unfortunately, it is becoming a very common phenomenon. We see ladies using, wearing, you know, fake lashes. And they just wear this these lashes to make themselves presentable, make themselves beautiful. You know, this a kind of cosmetic, you know, tool or something. And therefore, according to the religious authorities, eyelashes also form a kind of barrier, because they are glued to the real lashes, and they are not natural. They are, you know. People, cosmetic experts, they use some kind of, you know, adhesive or something, you know, you know, liquid to get those fake lashes glued to the eyelids or to the real lashes, and then it remains there. So it's kind of, you know, difficult to even remove the eyelashes. And so, what will be the consequences that if the, those lashes are there, the wudu made by a woman will be affected. It will be, and the same is the case with the ghusl she performs.
I see. Thank you very much, Shastravi. And thank you, my dear listeners, actually, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, as the host of this program, and the rest of the crew here on IRIB English Radio. Say, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيط.